Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Leaders in Supply Chain podcast, Latin America. I am your host, Xavier Basáñez, Managing Director, Latin America in Alcott Global. For me, it's a great pleasure today to introduce you, Antonio Lacerda. Good morning, Antonio.
Good morning, Javier.
Great. For the people that don't know Antonio, Antonio is the Senior Vice President Chemicals and Performance Product at BAF. He has been doing a career with BAF for over 18 years, and this role he has been performing for 8 years. And before his role, he made several roles. He played as a Senior Vice President, Coating, Catalyst, Construction, Chemicals, and Infrastructure for all South America over 6 years. Also performed Care Chemical Director for over 4 years, and also Animal Nutrition Manager for all South America. Before his experience in BAF, he worked for Norske Skog as Business Director Specialty Papers for 3 years. He initiated his career in Monsanto for over 11 years, performing Sixth Director of Brazil over 3 years, Glisofato Business Manager in Brazil for around 5 years, and also working in U.S. with Monsanto as a row crops marketing supervisor in the Midwest, and also sales rep Southern Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And he started in Monsanto, Brazil as a marketing supervisor. So a well-known career in chemicals, my friend Antonio. Welcome again.
Well, yeah, I've done it all. I mean, as you could see, I mean.
Yeah, definitely. So if I have a problem with seats, I know to whom I need to talk, definitely. For sure, all the neighbors should be asking you every time and for the garden, hey, how I can do this? That's right.
They actually do it, yeah. It happens quite often, yeah.
That's fine. So let's talk about how was your initial career in Monsanto, a very well-recognized seeds and chemical company. You started as a marketing supervisor, industrial market in Brazil. How was that experience?
No, actually, I started as a sales rep for nearly 5 years. Marketing a very well-known product in the agricultural world called Roundup. I was a sales rep in 2 different locations in Brazil. Then I moved to the headquarters in São Paulo as marketing supervisor. Did that for a couple years. Got transferred to the U.S. as a sales rep in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Wow, very interesting movement, no?
Yeah, in the U.S., Amish country, actually, Lancaster. I spent nearly 2 years there and then 2 years in St. Louis at the Monsanto headquarters as a marketing supervisor for row crops. And I basically repeated my career path in the U.S. compared to the one that I started here in Brazil. So it was, and then I came back to Brazil. I came back to Brazil after nearly four years in the U.S.
Yeah.
Again, working with Roundup. Yeah. Again, working with Roundup. Uh-huh. And for row crops. And it was interesting. Monsanto started acquiring seed companies back there. I was involved in this endeavor, helping Monsanto to acquire this corn seed company, soy seed companies. Yeah. And I was later on invited to integrate these companies into Monsanto.
Yeah.
Major supply chain challenge because this was a complete different setup. Completely. I mean,
yes, I can imagine because from just the chemical to seeds, maybe there are some similarities, but it's totally different. That's right.
It is very much so. And although the customer would be the same, I mean, corn and soy growers mainly. I mean, the logistics behind it, the entire supply chain is completely different.
Yeah, because you also need to have some special, I don't know, devices or how to keep the seeds in the right way to be able to sell it in the market, no?
Yeah, and no doubt. I mean, and this was a major challenge, not only for me, for the entire organization of Monsanto to get used to handle this new way of doing business, actually. But we could count with the executives that came from the acquisition of the seed companies. And this was quite handy, actually.
Yeah.
They were very specialized professional people. And we could not only integrate them into Monsanto, but also give them opportunities to develop their careers. within Monsanto. So,
what was a big challenge just to integrate all these teams together?
Yeah. All integrations, they're special. I mean,
yeah,
and they need to be carefully looked at. We do the integration, not disintegration, as we say. Yeah. I mean, a very common thing that unfortunately sometimes happens, but hopefully we have a history of success on when integrating companies. I mean, but this is a major challenge, as a matter of fact. And then it was 2001, more than 20 years ago, I moved to a paper company called Norske Skog.
Yeah, very interesting movement, no? How to the paper is a quite different industry, no?
Yeah.
Different customers.
A Norwegian paper company.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent nearly 3 years there before I joined BSF. I mean,
that's right.
And this 3 year, I call it assignment, in the paper industry gave me a very broad view on how to do business in South America, if not Latin America, because at the end of the day, I was in charge of Latin America. And this broadened my scope quite substantially. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, in a different industry.
Yeah.
Again, it was extremely handy when I came to BSF. It was in 2005. And I started my career
nutrition. In animal nutrition, no? Very interesting. I also... When I saw that, it reminded me that I was also in Cargill working with the animal nutrition in Venezuela, in Central America. This is a very special category, no? And every year is growing with the pets and also not only the industrial part, that's right, also the category as pets, no?
Oh, yeah. This is actually these two categories, they differ quite substantially. I mean, South America is most likely the fastest growing animal protein region in terms of growth. I mean, we grow a lot in terms of poultry production, pork, swine, and cattle, of course. I mean, this is between Brazil and Argentina, we consume more than 100 kilos of meat per person every year.
Wow.
Which is quite substantial. Yeah. In Argentina, they eat more.
Yeah.
Higher than 100 kilos, yeah.
Definitely.
And they eat very good meat, too. And but this is one segment, and the other segment is the pet market. I mean, this is growing substantially. And this is a market where BSF also plays a role when supplying nutrients. And vitamins especially, but not only vitamins, but mainly vitamins to this industry. Some enzymes as well. Very interesting.
And that's also is very emotional part, no? Because the feed for the poultry cows, and this is more technical and just analyzing rates of growing, etc. But the pet is really more emotional and catching and involving more marketing, as you said before, no?
Well, pets are part of the family, right?
Yeah. I mean,
and this is how it goes. But this BSF has a very vast portfolio when it comes to fine chemicals, if you will. I mean, we call it home and personal care, nutrition, actually. It's nutrition and care.
Okay.
And we have vitamins, enzymes, omega. And then moving to personal care, we have sunscreens. We are market leaders for sunscreens. We are one of the largest suppliers for the cosmetics industry. Many people do not have a clue that we do that.
That's right.
I have a clue that, and we are very active there. We are present in everybody's home with our chemicals, in the laundry area, in the dishwashing machines, everywhere. People, again, they do not realize how important BSF is in their day-to-day lives. I mean, because we are everywhere.
Yeah,
this is a growing area, Javier. Mm-hmm. And honestly, during the pandemic, these two areas grew substantially. Everything related to nutrition, being related to care, being home care or personal care.
Yeah.
And these markets are mostly, I mean, they do not suffer as much when an economic crisis comes. Of course, they all do, but they are more resilient as opposed to other markets.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. But for sure, that COVID situation and that pandemic situation, I mean, affect the supply chain in terms of availability of product, but at the same time, give you the challenge of that growing that you are coming, no?
And interesting enough, I mean, in large corporations like BSF, we have manuals for everything. I mean,
exactly.
A company with over 150 years of history, right? I mean, but at this time with COVID, the manuals came with the pages, they were completely blank.
Yeah.
We had to fill in the blanks. And I was never, ever so close to our customers than during the COVID time, because they were calling me, I was calling them. We were learning together how to steer the companies through COVID times.
Yeah.
And every day was a new day because, of course, I mean, this was a completely different and new world for all of us.
And this is definitely what the customer take care and value the companies when the supplier is hand to hand there helping creating ideas, new initiatives, and how you can keep his business moving, no?
Yeah, and our first priority, not only here at BSF, but our customers, I mean, our number one priority was this safe and health of our employees. I mean, this was the number one priority for all of us. And that's why we were, I mean, working together, exchanging ideas, learning from each other, so to preserve lives. I mean, and we did that together. And this has created very strong ties with our customers, honestly. Very strong ties. They see us differently today as opposed to a few years ago before pandemic.
Definitely, because you were able to give that value added. I mean, showing that you are really a partner for their business and being there in the critical times and helping that. This is what definitely any company value from the supplier.
And likewise, I mean, we value a lot the help we got from our customers as well because we learned from them.
Mm-hmm.
It was a two-way street at the end of the day. We developed products together. I mean, when nobody, absolutely nobody had a product to produce like hand sanitizers, we, along with our customers, we developed a formulation, be able to produce these products locally because during the pandemic, there was a major issue regarding supplying of products. Market was global before pandemic, global, and during pandemic, many countries, they were not so global, I would say, when exporting products. They wanted to safeguard particularly health-related supplies for themselves, not exporting them, not making them available elsewhere. And this forced us to locally produce what was able to be locally produced back there, given our manufacturing capabilities. At the end of the day, we managed to help our customers when it comes to producing hand sanitizers, for instance. I mean, there was a major disruption in the value chain of these products. And BSF managed to transfer the technology into South America from Germany in a record time. I mean, less than 30 days, we could bring all the technology. We could adjust our plants. And literally help our customers, help society, because at the end of the day, I mean, we were preserving lives. And this was very important. I mean, not only for our customers, for the morale of our employees too, because they realized that we were very serious and walking the talk when it comes, it came to preserving lives and putting them in society first. Before results, before sales, and this was very, very strong message, as a matter of fact.
To the people, no, you said something very important. Walk the talk. I mean, because sometimes we found companies that they say values and they are not walking on that. But that was a very key occasion. I mean, just to show your teams, okay, what they are for there, no? Just giving value to other customer and organization, definitely, no?
No doubt. Mm-hmm, so, no. And now we have stronger links with several customers. We have a new challenge now because there is a worldwide crisis in place. Volatility is the name of the game.
Yeah.
And uncertainty is part of our lives, but like never before. So it's a very challenging environment to do business with. And it's, I don't think it's going to get any better soon. I mean,
no.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, it's a new dynamic.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Just before, and I for sure, I think that also Bath was there, no? They was trying to consolidate manufacturing plans and trying to get do the network through the supply chain, through the logistics. But this pandemic have been, I mean, showing that the nearshoring is the right strategy, no? Maybe more located plants, maybe more located products, but it's helping your customers that are around you. That's right.
No doubt. I mean, nearshoring. I mean, we started a nearshoring-like program 5 years ago.
Wow.
We called it Patriot.
Okay.
Yeah, Patriot. Yeah, very creative, right?
Yeah.
we started that 5 years ago, and we've been able to localize production of nearly 40 products over the last 5 years.
Wow.
It has to make economic sense, of course. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
And this has been extremely valuable and important for our strategy to better serve our customers in the region. Whenever possible, we are localizing production of certain raw materials, I mean, because this is the way to go. Unfortunately, this is not possible with large commodities, I mean, because this is a huge investment, and the critical mass has to be in the region. So we put together a business plan, and a sound and healthy business plan has to be profitable. I mean, has to pay by itself. And for large commodities, this doesn't fly. I mean, we have many locations throughout the world with large capacities for basic commodity chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to bring one of these large industrial facilities for South America due to the lack of critical mass.
Yeah.
But by the other hand, there is one thing that is becoming very important and relevant for us, which is South America in general. We have a huge potential when it comes to biomass.
Okay.
And we've been implementing a plan so to have South America as a green powerhouse for the world. I mean, we have the vegetable oils, I mean, being soy, being palm trees.
That's right.
We have corn. We have bioethanol, which is very important for us. Bioethanol from sugarcane. Mm-hmm. It's not from corn. We are not competing with foodstuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we have large forestry development here for paper and pulp. And this is very important for the development of this green powerhouse project. So BSF can also look at investing in this area.
Wow.
We have all the elements. I mean, it's very sustainable. I mean, it's sustainable. Yeah. It's renewable raw materials. We're talking about renewable raw materials. We are talking about using renewable energy. I mean, seeing there is an abundance of solar and wind energy in South America already, but this is growing substantially. So if you combine our strategy in terms of being a sustainable industry or developing a sustainable industry in South America, I mean, if you combine renewable raw materials with green energy, I mean, these are the two basic elements. So we have a positive CO2 footprint as compared to any other region.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely, you are right. And this is what we are trying to promote and telling in the to the supply chain professional. It's not only the soft skills and the hard skill. You need to learn about the business, learn about the other function of the business, and also be aware of all these new tendencies, no? Especially the sustainability is a great, great player in the supply chain. And as a supply chain professional, they need to know about it. They need to acquire that skills. They need to know how to do the right narrative and to tell the story to be able to grow in the organization and be successful the organization, no?
And Javier, interesting enough, I mean, it's very nice that you're touching this point because it's a different value chain mindset. Mm-hmm. When you talk about pure chemicals is one thing. When you talk about biomass, mm-hmm. you talk about a living organism. That it's completely different. I mean, it's totally not different. Granted that 1 year is going to be like the other one. You depend on weather, you depend on climate overall, yeah. and you depend on the environment. It's not yeah. a chemical plant.
Yeah.
It's the mindset is different.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You got it right. I mean, all the supply chain experts, they need to adjust their thinking for a new way of doing business. I mean, and this is going to be part of our lives, I'm sure.
Yeah, yes, definitely. And this is the revolution that you said before, no? That all these risks on the table, the heavy pressure from governments and from ONU or worldwide association are in place. And any breaks in the supply chain, well, are provoking too many things. So I think that this is the way, no? That green energy and that biomass definitely will be part of the future in the supply chain, no?
Yeah. And Javier, one more topic, I mean, which is very important when it comes to mindset change in the supply chain arena. I mean, with all the circular economy
mm-hmm.
efforts, and this you cannot do alone. I mean,
yeah,
it only works in an ecosystem. So even there, the supply chain experts, they have also to adjust their mindsets because it's not a one-to-one relationship anymore. It's going to be most likely an ecosystem relationship, mm-hmm. E-to-E, as I say, ecosystem-to-ecosystem relationship. And there will be many parties involved as opposed to only two parties, like a buyer and a seller. Most likely in the future, near future, we're going to have 3, 4, 5 companies interacting to each other in the same value chain. So you access this valuable raw materials that will make the difference in our lives in the future.
No, definitely. So you are facing a lot of challenges right now as a senior vice president of chemical and performance for all South America. So you need to promote this and you need to look for the right talent that are able to help you with that career succession to grow that the right path with all your workers and yes, with looking now for partners that have to be in your ecosystem, as you said, just to build the right supply chain able to support the customers in this new bio-green world that we should be having in the future, no?
No, no doubt. I mean, in this new world, which has to come sooner, the sooner the better, because it's our world at the end of the day. This entire CO2 management is absolutely key for our survival at the end of the day. I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
This is also a new spin. When you develop people, when you bring expertise to companies, this entire CO2 value chain is something that we didn't talk. No, I mean, yeah. We didn't talk before.
Yes, exactly.
This is a new topic. I mean, since 3, 4 years, we've been discussing this, but this is now becoming a reality with all the Green Deal implementation in Europe, discussion and further on implementation. I mean, this carbon CO2 management will be a game changer.
Yeah,
I have no doubt. And this poses an opportunity for countries like South America if we do things right.
Yeah.
If we really bet on green energy and renewable raw materials, we are going to be able to export our products with a very positive CO2 footprint.
Yeah, no, definitely, and this is definitely the key. So you are not so you are very busy on trying to work with that, no? So currently, this is the way that we should be looking for the supply chain. That's great. That's great. And it makes sense to do this question to you, that which recommendation and advice can you give to the professional that are developing their careers right now in supply chain, in multinational organization? How can be drawing their future in that organization just to be in the position in C-level like you? So what do you think that they should be doing?
Well, first and foremost, supply chain is part of the business. I mean, if you're not part of the business, an integral part of the business, you gotta be. Mm-hmm. Because supply chain is not a function. It's not a service.
Mm-hmm.
It has to get into the business and also into the business decisions. If this is not happening, you have to make sure that this happens in your respective companies. So supply chain as part of the business, as an integral part of the business, this is the number one thing. The second thing is, don't let day-to-day activities and the short-term results orientation drive your actions. This is absolutely important. Of course, we have to deliver the results. I mean, shareholders expecting us to deliver results, but keep your eyes in the future as well. Because if you don't find the right balance between delivering the numbers of short-term numbers and innovating, bringing creativity, creating a sustainable future, there will be no future.
That's right.
And find the right balance between short-term focus and mid-long-term initiatives. This is absolutely important, and this will make you different from many other people, very good people, that only focus on the day-to-day activities. So be part of the business, number one. Number two, keep your eyes in the future while keeping your feet in firm ground.
Yeah.
Look ahead. And the third thing I always say, deliver the unexpected. I mean, do more than your job description is requiring you to do. Go the extra mile, because companies expect leaders to go the extra mile and do it responsibly, of course. Don't do what everybody else does. I mean, if you do what everybody else does and follow the same pattern as many executives do, you're going to be one more executive. If you do things differently, if you deliver, if you are creative, and number four, have a strong networking inside and outside your company. This makes a huge difference in your career and also in your personal life. So just to recap, number one, be part of the business. Be an integral part of the business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two, deliver the results today, but keep your eye in the future.
That's right.
Three, do the unexpected. And four, networking. This is absolutely critical for your success inside the company, eventually outside the company as well.
Definitely. That's great, great advice that you gave to the people, to the professional that want to do career. And this is, as you said before, it's a community to a community. So this is what we need to focus. Give the extra miles. This is key. And focus, do the balance. As I used to say sometimes, you need a helicopter view, no? The helicopter view, but go down and go in the ground and check and go back. So that constantly moving is also part of the key, as you mentioned. That's right.
And Javier, one thing, the other day I was invited to make, actually to deliver a presentation to the legal department of BSF. And the title of my presentation was Legal Beyond Contracts.
Oh, okay.
Legal beyond contracts. And if I were to be invited to talk to a supply chain community, I would probably, the title of my presentation would be Supply Chain Beyond Transportation.
Yeah, for example, that's right.
Yeah, because the world is changing. I mean, this is, people have to realize this. I mean, supply chain is extremely important for the success of the business. It is part of the business, and it has to be brought into the equation when decisions are made.
Yeah, definitely. And the CEO have to take that decision. And if for the other side, the supply chain players need to do it, need to force that just to make sure that the decision are the right decision.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, have been a great, great conversation with you, Antonio. I really have been enjoying the conversation. I don't know if you want to give any final message or any other point, because you have a vast experience. So that have been great to have you today.
No, thanks, Javier. I mean, pleasure talking to you and to the audience. At least as a final words on this podcast, I would highly recommend the supply chain community to really look beyond the traditional supply chain experts actually would look at. I mean, yeah. Look beyond, because the world is very volatile. Uncertainty, as I said, is part of the game. And when times are such a chaos, the role of supply chain becomes even more important. So
yeah,
be a transformation agent in your arena, in your area of expertise, and see where you can add further value to the organization. You can certainly find this gold pockets, so you can prove your value as a professional and as a team to the organization you work for.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's a great, great message. And also be prepared in all Internet of Things, the data searching, intelligence, all the ChatGPT. But beside that, as you said, be a transformation agent. That's it.
Yeah. No doubt.
Great. So thank you very much, Antonio, for having you today.
No, not at all. My pleasure.
Well, thank you, Antonio. So, and thanks all the listeners for listening to our podcast today. And if you like what you hear, you must go to www.alcottglobal.com and click on the button of the podcast to see all the programs and notes. You can also subscribe to the mailing list to receive all updates and news. You can share also with your friends and also follow us on LinkedIn. And if you are looking to hire senior supply chain executives, manufacturing, e-commerce, digitalization in your business in Latin, US, Spain, worldwide, just let us know how can we help you and support you from Alcott Global. Have a great day.